This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Thursday, May 30th. Ian Cameron, Matt Robinson with you. Alex, a small little BetCast hangover from last night, but he's fine. He'll be back probably with us tomorrow on Friday. We're breaking down Game 5 in the Eastern Conference Final. Florida Panthers, New York Rangers, series tied at 2. But before we do that, we recap last night, and we have two conference finals that are now best of three series, with the series tied at 2. The Edmonton Oilers end up getting a great bounce back victory last night over the Dallas Stars, 5-2. Kind of a mirror image of Game 3, not quite, because Edmonton's dominance in Game 3 was for the entire first period, and it seemed like Dallas just absolutely took over in the second period. The first 10 minutes were just, it's amazing how they were swarming Edmonton Game 3 in the second period. And from that point on, it kind of felt like it was Dallas's game. Last night, it was the kind of the reverse from the opening puck drop, where for the first 10 minutes, it was all Dallas. I mean, Edmonton's just running around, coughing up the puck. Wyatt Johnston gets an odd man rush, finishes it off with a beautiful shot to give them a 1-0 lead first minute of the game. I mean, for a team that really was getting criticized after what happened and after the first period of Game 3, to start the game like that was alarming. And then, of course, a minute or two later, there's an Esa Lindell point shot, which looked harmless. It bounces in off the backside of Darnell Nurse, who was feeling the heat big time, as much, if not more, than any Oiler going into Game 4. And just like that, it's 2-0 Dallas, and we're thinking, holy shit. I mean, Edmonton, they're in trouble, and maybe they're in trouble not only for this game, but for the series, because if they go down 3-1, that's not the mountain you want to be trying to climb against this Dallas Stars team. But wouldn't you know it, Edmonton, you know, they really didn't have anything going. That's the funny thing. Dallas was just still taking it to them. Hintz had an incredible chance to make it 3-0, and he couldn't convert, but Skinner made a couple of saves at 2-0. Edmonton still really had nothing going. And then all of a sudden, bang, they score on a chance really out of nowhere that was created because Ryan Suter can't figure out, don't hit my own goaltender. That would really be a good thing to consider in a spot like that. And he just takes Ottinger right out of the play. He can't corral the loose puck and the rebound that was sitting there. And Ryan McLeod buries it to give Edmonton their first goal and get them going. And then from that moment, it's like an automatic change in the tenure of the game, because you look at the way Edmonton responded after making it 2-1. All of a sudden, they're the team in the offensive zone. They're the ones making Dallas defend and chase the puck in the defensive zone. And then a few minutes later, it became 2-2. And all of a sudden, here's Edmonton right back into the game. The crowd is right back into the game. And then from that point on, I thought, you know, Edmonton was for the large part the rest of the way the better team. Dallas did have their little spurts when it was still 2-2, but the dagger sequence was, and we've got to give Edmonton's penalty kill a lot of credit. You know, people are so quick to say, what is wrong with Dallas power play? Well, maybe we should be talking about what's right with Edmonton's penalty kill, because this is now going on, 25 straight penalty kills for the Edmonton Oilers going back to the Vancouver series, maybe even further than that. Their penalty kill's been awesome. You know, and I think they deserve credit more than Dallas deserves blame for a lousy power play. It's not like either team actually has been any good with the power play in this series. The penalty kills have been great, but the shorthanded goal was a tough one to give up. It really was. The two-on-one rush, Janmark finishes it off. Alex was saying Ottinger maybe hurt himself on the betcast during that. Didn't look like it. I mean, just because he didn't look like the reaction was a little bit slow from him. That's probably why Alex thought he maybe got hurt, but it didn't appear that way. They didn't say anything about an injury post-game, so you got to assume Ottinger's fine. Because I also thought after Alex said that, and then we saw the Draisaitl goal right after that that made it 4-2, which was a very rare and bad breakdown by Dallas. You know, that one, he looked like he was slow to get that pad out there and react to the Draisaitl shot, which was a very good shot. And that's what kind of led more credence to the potential argument Alex was making that maybe Ottinger hurt himself stretching out on that third goal that Edmonton scored, the shorty by Janmark. But from what I understand, he didn't. He's fine. And it had nothing to do with him maybe, you know, straining a groin or pulling something or anything like that. So, but those two goals were basically the goals that broke the back of Dallas and fueled Edmonton towards the victory 4-2. And then they wrapped it up with the empty netter 5-2. Victory. And I'll say this about Edmonton's third period. You don't always know if this Edmonton team has it in them, because we've seen them blow leads. We've seen them, you know, in the game three, look out of sorts defensively. But in that third period, it's about as good as they could defend. That's about as good as any team could defend. I thought they were awesome, you know, in locking that game down and bringing that game home with the 4-2 lead. They didn't give Dallas all that much. And when there was chances, Skinner was there. I thought it was one of their best defensive periods of the playoffs, not just this series. And I got to also give credit to Chris Knobloch for the win at Matt, because I was on here yesterday saying, I don't get some of these lineup changes. You really don't. You think Broberg's going to make a difference? Well, he did make a difference. I thought his puck movement was very good last night, and it really helped Edmonton get the rush going. Corey Perry and Ryan McLeod in the lineup instead of Warren Fogle. I don't think Fogle deserved to be taken out of the lineup, but it was that plus the fact that, you know, Perry's, you know, an older player, hasn't played in several days. How good is he going to be? Perry was really good. He was in the face of Dallas players. He was in on the forecheck hard last night in that game. I thought they got a lot out of Corey Perry in that win last night. He gets a point. He gets an assist on one of the goals. It was the McLeod goal that got them going, and it was him crashing the net that kind of, you know, with Suter running into Ottinger, that kind of threw everything out of whack for Dallas. But it was Corey Perry's net front drive that really helped that goal. So that those little things that Corey Perry brought to the Edmonton Oilers last night also helped them. And what can you say? Ryan McLeod's had a terrible recent slew of games prior to being put back into the lineup last night. And what does Ryan McLeod do? He gets the first goal for the Edmonton Oilers last night, and it's his goal that gets them going and really turns that game around when they made it 2-1 at the time. So Chris Knobloch pushed all the right buttons. He had faith in Darnell Nurse, keeping him with CeCe, and Darnell Nurse had a hell of a game, and I'm happy for him in particular. As someone that still wants Dallas to win this series for purely financial reasons, I am happy to see Darnell Nurse bounce back like that. This man was taking a ridiculous shit ton of heat in the media in Edmonton for especially the last game. The fact that, you know, his performance, while it has been tough at times, he struggled at times. It's more so because of the contract he's got, the money he's making, and he's an easy target. He's an easy, pinata, you know, a whipping boy, if you will. Right now for the Oiler fans and for the media right now with the way he's played. He's from from right here in Hamilton. So, you know, I always want him to do well, Darnell Nurse, personally. And to see him respond last night after it was a dreadful game three. And a lot of times in these playoffs, he's had his defensive issues. There's no question. But last night, you saw him get an assist. I think he had an incredible amount of hits. I think I saw something like 11, 12 hits in the game. There was no glaring errors for Darnell Nurse. There's nothing he could have done. The one, you know, one bad moment for him was nothing he could have done. It went off his ass, essentially, and in the second Dallas goal. Other than that, he had a great game. He was physical all night. He had double digits in hits. He had an assist on one of the goals. He was trying to create some offense. He wasn't turning the puck over. His positioning was sound, you know, and he was feeling it and he was hearing it from everyone. Oh, Darnell Nurse sucks. Darnell Nurse stinks. He can't play. This guy's making too much money. He's one of the worst contracts going. He's overpaid, yada, yada, yada. And he blocked all that shit out and he bounced back with a hell of a game last night and helping Edmonton win. So Darnell Nurse, credit to him. Job well done. That's showing some mental fortitude. That's responding to some adversity, playing the way you did when you're hearing all that white noise about how you suck so badly. And to come back, play like that, well done by him last night. So Edmonton, give him credit. They showed some balls last night. They showed some guts. And, you know, we're in the conference finals. It's not supposed to be easy, you know, and it ain't going to be easy for really either of these teams as we're down 2-2 as well in the West and down to a best of three. I'll hand the baton over to Matt, no stress, Robinson, here to talk about game four last night, Stars and Oilers.
Yeah, obviously an interesting game, but I feel like every game this series has been sort of to some level like that, where one team comes out and then the other team kind of flips the script a little bit. The two most obvious, obviously, game three and four. You know, as you mentioned, game three, Edmonton really dominated the first period, and then Dallas kind of took over from there. This one was maybe more the first 10 minutes. You know, there's going to be goals that happen in games. You know, both of these teams have firepower. Obviously, Edmonton's got two of the best offensive players in the world. And then Dallas, you know, has two to three lines that can score on any given night. So, you know, it's one of those things where one team gets a little momentum and, you know, really takes off from there. So as a Stars fan, obviously was happy with the start, but then feel like the team just sort of fizzled out from there. Obviously going into game five, there's concern about Chris Tanev. I was talking to Ian before the show, and it's hard to even be on a Dallas Stars For You page on Twitter just because of how many mental midgets there are out there. You know, after game three, it's we're the best team, so much depth, never going to lose. Edmonton can't hang with us. And then, like, you know, one game and it's like, we may as well give up. You know, Chris Tanev was walking in a walking boot, so season's over. No idea what's going on there. Every year in the playoffs, there's guys that walk into the arena with a boot on, wearing a suit, that end up playing in the game. So, you know, yes, if, as I mentioned earlier to Ian, if it's, you know, if Tanev's announced that he's done for the year, Dallas loses game five, my optimism going back to Edmonton would be relatively low. You know, could it happen that they string together a road win and then get to game seven and then anything happens? Sure. But I won't be feeling as optimistic. But it's just so funny to me. It's like, it's the same thing after Vegas went up 2-0, which I think was an even scarier time. You're going back to the defending champion's house, down 0-2 in the first round as the first seed. You know, that to me is way more worrisome than going home 2-2 in the Western Conference Finals with home ice advantage. So, obviously, yes, Chris Tanev has been a great piece for Dallas. You know, they were a pretty good team all year, and he didn't get there till I think game 63. So, again, not the end of the world. Yes, it would be a big hit, but there's other guys that can step up. You know, if you looked at the first 5 minutes of yesterday's game, shots were 5-0. Edmonton had three on twos. Dallas was just backchecking. And, you know, is that sustainable to do for 60 full minutes against a team with two superstars? Of course not. But, you know, they have the depth on offense to play more defensively minded. And maybe they need Jake Ottinger to steal a game and, you know, have a 40 game or a 40 shot, you know, one goal type of game. Maybe they need to win a game 6-5 in overtime and kind of have a track meet, you know, with Edmonton and just kind of hope that power plays both get hot, they score some goals, you know, things like that. You know, who knows? But they do have the Pete DeBoer game, Mr. Game 7 on their side. So, you know, if they can win one of these next two games, I think they've got a decent shot. And again, I'd be reluctant to think that if Chris Tanev, because the other thing I'm seeing is, oh, his ankle's shattered And it's like, you know, if he was walking through the airport with crutches or going to stay in Edmonton for a day because they didn't want him to fly, you know, my optimism would be a lot different. But he literally is walking through the the airport with his phone in his hand and looks totally fine. So it's like, you know, let's pop the brakes a little bit. You know, let's wait and see if he's going to play. If he's not, other guys are going to have to step up, and it is going to be tough to fill that void because he is such a big piece of the decor. But let's not panic before we even know what happened or, you know, what the result is going to be. So I still have all the optimism in the world. Nobody thought Edmonton was going to roll over and die. They've got guys in their locker room that want to win a cup just as bad as the guys in Dallas. So, you know, I didn't think that they were just going to roll over and let Dallas win last night 5-0, go back to Dallas, you know, in their season, go out to all the bars in Dallas and enjoy their offseason. That never was even a thought in my head. So, you know, I think Dallas is going to have to bounce back. They played probably the worst 55 minutes together that they've played in this playoffs.
And don't forget, you know, when Tanev went out, that shakes up the defensive pairs. You know, you got the players all of a sudden right in the middle of a game where you're already, you know, in the trailing, you know, 4-2. And all of a sudden you got to I think actually the 3 and the 4-2 goals happened right after he left the game, because it was 2-2 when he took that shot in that ankle area, left the game, hobbled to the back. And then the 3-2, 4-2 goals happened. But then you could tell just the difference he makes, and everyone's playing with different defensive pairs at that time. And that was definitely a big part of the problems Dallas had trying to get back into that game.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And it does shake things up. And, you know, again, he is such a big piece. You know, going into a fresh game, if they know that they don't have him, they're going to make adjustments for it. And you mentioned this going into game 3. Now Dallas is going to have last change, so they can try and get the matchups. You know, maybe it's something where they see McDavid, they see Dreisaitl, they're trying to get Miro out there. He's a guy that can push, you know, 30, 32 minutes. And it, you know, you don't want to do it every game, but if you have to do it for a game to try and get through a series, they're going to do it. And they'll be able to also match up. Oh shit, we see neither of those guys. All right, now you give Suter, now you give Harley, you know, now you give Petrovic, you know, some of these more depth defensemen an opportunity, and just try and, you know, they're not trying to score any goals, just don't give anything up. And then, you know, I like their chances. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I have all the trust in the world in Pete DeBoer. He's been pretty lights out at making adjustments when needed in the playoffs. I think Dallas, you know, I don't think that they can blame Tanev's injury or, you know, this or that. I think they just didn't play well. They came out hot, which is great. But I think they kind of blew their momentum early. And then, you know, even at 2-2, it was still a little back and forth. They had some chances, and then they give up that shorthanded goal. That building's rocking. I mean, it's tough to come back from that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens on tomorrow. There's obviously going to be a lot of buzz around Tanev, but I think for the rest of the team, they just need to reset, you know, look at what they did wrong, you know, have a little more energy and things like that. But I, you know, the AAC is going to be rocking tomorrow night. Maybe the Mavs close out their NBA series tonight, moving on to the finals. And then, you know, that place will be jam-packed on a Friday night. So, I think Jason Demers has been on the show and mentioned, you know, any weekend game at that place is always an added great time, just because people have a couple drinks beforehand. It gets pretty rowdy in there. So, yeah, definitely no reason to panic. We'll see after tomorrow if I'm feeling the same way on Saturday morning. But at least at this time, you know, it's a 2-2 series. It's playoff hockey. As a fan, as you mentioned in our text thread yesterday, you have two conference finals that are now best of threes. What else could you ask for? So we'll look forward to tomorrow, but we do have a great game on the schedule tonight. So look forward to getting into that as well.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, though. My goodness. Hector Perez. Hector. The inner workings of a diseased mind. I mean, frauds. 2-2 in the Western Conference Final, top seed in the West all year. Frauds.
I want to get a CTE check.
Yeah, not quite. They're not choking the series either. No. Yeah. And if they lose this series, the choke word's not the word to use. It's a damn good team. There's two of the best players in the sport, McDavid and Draisaitl, who both played excellent, by the way, last night. I think that was Draisaitl's best game of the series by far. There's no question about that. This is just two great teams going at it. And one great team, not one fraud team, one great team is going home after this series. That's just the nature of the beast right now when you're in the conference finals. That's it. Yep. That's all there is to it. But it's a great series. This has been a wild momentum swing series, more so even than the Rangers and the Panthers. I mean, we've seen crazy swings from one period to the next. Hell, we've seen one period where you split the period in half. It's like watching two different games. That's what the first period looked like last night. It's like watching two different hockey games, comparing the first 10 minutes to the second 10 minutes of that first period. So, like I said, nobody's a fraud for losing in the conference finals, and I don't care what fashion it is. These are four phenomenal hockey teams. Phenomenal. Are there flaws with each of them in some way? Yeah, no team's perfect. But these are, I think we've got probably the four best teams going in the NHL right now. And you could say that Dallas knocked out the teams that were probably right up there as far as the best teams left standing in Vegas and Colorado. So, you know, from that standpoint, these are four teams that whoever loses, it's not they choked. It's not, oh, they suck. Oh, they, you know, all of a sudden, ah, they just, what a disappointment. What a disaster. What a pathetic display it is for any of these teams now that lose in the conference final, whether it's the Rangers, the Panthers, the Stars, the Oilers. This is just no. You're at a very tough time of year, the best of the best, and good teams are going to lose. Great teams, even, are going to lose, you know, at this stage of the playoffs. And you can't say that they're fraudulent just because they lose in the conference final. It's just not the case. Even Vegas, and Vegas got knocked out in the first round. Can't call them frauds. They lost in seven to this great Dallas team, you know, and they're still a great hockey team. And at the very least, a very good hockey team. I'd say great, the Vegas Golden Knights. And who knows what happens in the Colorado series? You know, if the Valanichushkin shitstorm doesn't hit the Avs, they probably still would have lost. But like I said, that really changed that series quite a bit. So again, that's a great team too. You know, all these teams. Again, the Carolina's a great team. You know. Now, the difference with Carolina is the way they lost game six. You know, they had that lead in the third period. I don't want to say the choke word for them for the series, but in that game, it was a mini choke. You got to admit, it was a mini choke in the third period because they were up. Anderson can't make a save. Kreider has the natural hat trick. To lose the series that way is really, really tough. But they're not a fraud team. You know, they still had a great season. And they lost to a damn good Rangers team. So, like I said, you lose at this time of year, you're not a fraud. You're just losing. You're just a damn great team that lost to another fucking damn good team. That's what you are, because that's the time of year we're at. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy, and we're finding that out in these two game fives. And like Matt said, he has faith in Pete DeBoer to make adjustments. Knobloch made his adjustments, and I had my doubts about whether his adjustments would work last night, but they did. Nurse played great last night, bouncing back, keeping him in the lineup. Look at what McLeod and Perry brought to the Oilers. Perry gets an assist. Perry has a big hand and is driving the net on the first goal, and the guy that he also put into the lineup, McLeod, is the one that scored that goal to get things going for Edmonton. So shout out to Knobloch. You know, he made adjustments that I didn't necessarily agree with, but they all paid off. And then he decides to go back to Skinner. In game six against Vancouver in the last round, even though Pickard got him a couple of good performances, and that paid off for them too. So he's rolling the dice, and he's coming up aces right now, Chris Knobloch. But now it's Pete's turn, you know, to see what counterpunch he has going into game five tomorrow night. Like I said, it's been a wild series. Looking forward to seeing how that one pans out with the Stars and Oilers going back to Dallas for game five on Friday night. All right, let's...
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Turn our attention to tonight. We've got game five of the Eastern Conference Final. Three straight overtime games in this series. Will there be a fourth here tonight in game five? Florida -125. Road favorites here in this one at Madison Square Garden. Series tied 2-2. 5.5 the total, shaded to the under in this one. You can make a damn good argument it could be 3-1 Florida right now in this series. There's no question. If you look at game one, Florida's certainly the much better team. They got the job done in that one, obviously. And then you look at game two, Rangers bounced back, played a lot better. I think that was probably the Rangers' best game of the series so far was game two. And I'm going to give them full marks for that win. But even then, it wasn't the dominance over Florida like Florida had over the Rangers in game one. But they found a way. They got the Barclay-Goodrow goal in overtime of game two. Game three, look, Florida should have won that. There's no doubt. I mean, they were clearly dominant as far as territorial edge, shots, chances, offensive zone time, ozone shifts, puck possession, all of that. I think the shot attempt differential I remember from that game three classic on Sunday afternoon, that which went to overtime, I believe it was like 98 to 36 or something. It was like more than plus 60. Shot attempt differential in game three in favor of Florida, and yet they end up losing in overtime with Wenberg's goal as it deflects in off him in front of the net in overtime for the 5-4 Ranger victory. Again, Rangers found a way to win. Shesterkin was phenomenal, but again, Florida probably deserved the W with the way the flow of the game went. And then, of course, game four was another game where I actually thought the Rangers played well in the first period, outplayed Florida in the first period, but after that, it was all Florida, second period, third period. It goes into overtime. They get the early power play, and Sam Reinhart puts it away with the power play goal and ties the series at two. But again, could be 3-1 Florida for sure right now, because I think game three is the one they should have won as well. But that doesn't matter now. What matters is the Rangers were, you know, very, very opportunistic. You know, they were resourceful. You know, they found a way against the run of play to take game three, and that's what's got them tied here 2-2 with the best of three moving forward. This is a tough game to bet because, look, I don't expect this to be a high event game. I unloaded on the overs in game three. I felt that was a clear over spot, and then of course, and it cashed in the over bifecta, all of that game three, that high scoring 5-4 game, the one high scoring game in this series. But I said prior to game four on this show, I was not sold on it being high scoring again going into game four. I thought there's a chance it's going to get back to that 2-1, 3-2 type of game. you know, and that's exactly what we saw in game four. And I don't know if it's going to change here tonight in game five, especially now that we're down to best of three. And one of these teams is going to get pushed to the brink of elimination, you know, for losing this game tonight. So it's hard not to envision another, you know, very good goaltending battle between two tremendous goaltenders right now, Sergei Bobrovsky and Igor Shesterkin. You know, defensive-minded type of affair. It's just the way, that's the way this series has, you know, basically evolved into. And again, we've seen this pattern throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs where we get to game five and game six and game seven. You know, we start to see these games get even lower scoring, you know, and tight, and it's harder to find goals. And, you know, just the checking is tougher. There's not as many teams taking penalties. There's referees that aren't as willing, you know, to call as many penalties in games of this magnitude. So you put it all together, and that's why we have seen a pretty clear and dominant run throughout the playoffs of games five through seven, staying under the total. So I could only look under tonight with this game, 5.5. But I'm always, you know, even in this series where this could easily be another 2-1 game for somebody, or 3-2, and maybe you don't have to sweat betting under 5.5. But always to make sure that I don't have to sweat it nearly as much. My primary main bet, and it's really the only pregame side or total that I have placed a bet on for tonight, it's going to go back to the same game parlay that I've talked about repeatedly on this show throughout the course of the playoffs, especially in these games that take place later in the series. I'm going back to the well with it here tonight, and that's Florida Panthers +2.5. New York Rangers +2.5 and under 6.5 at +105 at BetMGM. Very good price on that. Plus money, +105 for Panthers +2.5, Rangers +2.5 and under 6.5 for game five tonight. I'm going back to the well with that same game parlay. It makes sense. I expect this to be a 1 or 2 goal game. Since game one, that was the one game where it was a 3-0 victory for Florida, but since then we've seen 3 straight overtime games, 3 straight 1-goal games. 3 of the 4 games in this series have gone under. I expect this to be more of a lower scoring game, more like games 1, 4, and 5, or 1, 2, and 4, I should say, not so much like game 3. So I'm going to go back to that SGP. It's treated me well. I've been rewarded more often than not and cashed this SGP more often than not, taking both teams +2.5 goals and tacking on the under at 6.5. It's been a great SGP bet for me all playoffs, especially in these latter games in the series, you know, 5, 6, and 7. So that's the bet for me. That's really it as far as pregame. Panthers +2.5, Rangers +2.5, under 6.5, +105. And I am going to sprinkle on the draw as well, just because, look, it's now 3 straight games where we've seen overtime. I feel I have to get involved now. With the draw. Watch this be the night now we finally avoid overtime, now that I'm finally getting on board and taking a draw here in this Panthers-Rangers series. But, you know, I'm still going to, you're still getting good prices. I mean, +340, you know, at FanDuel for the draw tonight here in game five. So that's pretty much it. Just that SGP and the draw, a small piece of the draw here for game five, Panthers and Rangers. If I were to bet the money line side, I could only look Florida. I just feel Florida's been superior now for most of this series, except game two. The road record is right up there with Dallas, one of the best teams in the NHL on the road all season long. At this price, I feel Florida's getting stronger, you know, as the series is going on. I worry about how Adam Fox has struggled. I worry about how Braden Schneider at times has struggled on the blue line. I worry that Zibanejad and Kreider haven't been very good for much of this series. Eventually they're going to have to get going. You can only rely on your foot soldiers, and Lafreniere has been great, and Goodrow has been amazing offensively. You can only rely on those two guys, you know, for so long. You've got to get your big guns going, and Panarin too. Throw him in there with Zibanejad and Kreider. Artemi Panarin has not had a good series, you know, for the New York Rangers. So they need more from them. I think Lafreniere's had a great series. Goodrow, as goes without saying, how solid he's been. I think Trocheck's had a pretty good series as well for the Rangers, but they need Zibanejad, DJ Zibans, they need Kreider, and they need Panarin to get going, because Florida's getting stronger. Kachuk, Berhage, Barkov. Reinhardt is back on the beam again. He's on fire again after a little bit of a scoring drought. He scored, you know, in game three and in game four. He's going. Bennett's been an impact player. There's a lot of the better players starting to percolate and get their game going for Florida. It's time for the New York Rangers to follow suit with their best players stepping up here tonight if they're going to win game five. We'll see if they can do that. Matt, what do you think here? A big time game five in the Eastern Conference final, Panthers Rangers.
Yeah, this is a very tough game to bet. I do have a bargain bin that I'll get into later. But as far as, you know, sides totals, like it's a tough game. I lean Florida here. As you mentioned, they are a great road team. I think they've been the better team in the series for majority of this series. But again, I wouldn't be shocked if New York wins this game and pushes a game six up 3-2 back in Florida. And then, you know, I'd feel really confident that we're going to end up with a game seven back in New York. But yeah, it's this series is tough. I do agree with you. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I'm not on either over in this one. We'll see how the pace is out of the get go. Maybe a live first period over if I'm feeling really good about it. But I'm probably going to keep it pretty simple on this game. I lean Florida -125 is not a bad price. I'll probably throw a little on the money line, and then I might jump on Florida's team total over 2.5. You know, I do think if you lean New York, you should do something similar and take that plus money and then bet on over 2.5. I do think whoever wins this game will score at least 3 goals. But I don't see this being a 6-5 overtime type game. I think it'll be like a 3-1, maybe a 4-2 type game. And you, depending on pace, it might start slow and then, you know, you have a big second period. Or you may catch, you know, it going into the third, like 2-1, one team scores. So then the goalie pull, maybe they score on it, like, you know, and then you get a couple late goals. So I'm really excited to watch this game. But yeah, as far as betting, those won't be huge bets for me. I do just lean Florida. I think they kind of dominated the back half of last game, and they're kind of riding that momentum into the road, which they enjoy playing. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I mean, as far as props goes, I feel like Barkov to Chuck, they're never bad looks. I do think Panarin, Zibanejad, like guys like that need to step up. I think Laferriere has been probably the best.
Lafreniere.
Sorry.
There you go. You're thinking of LA Kings similar. Player. Yeah.
Yeah, their names are – I always fuck up Lafreniere's name, but which is terrible of me. He's a first overall pick, but he's been the best player for New York in this series specifically. So I think, you know, his goal prop is probably nothing great. It's +250. I mean, that's probably worth a look. Like he's been their best player. You know, Kreider is always, you know, a guy that can score a couple goals in a game like this, but yeah, I think the props are tough here just because I do think this is going to be a lower scoring game. And, you know, maybe we get some power plays and those big name guys get on the board. But it may be a game where, like, you know, some fifth defenseman on one of the teams ends up scoring the game winning goal in overtime. And, you know, it's just one of those long shot odds. So I'll probably be on minimal bets here. I'll be watching this game as well as the NBA Western Conference final game. So. But yeah, really excited to see how this game plays out.
Yeah, I think Igor Shesterkin over saves is a good bet. It cashed in the last game. I did sprinkle on it, maybe a little bigger tonight, because I just think the Rangers, it's going to be another one of these deals, I think, where I don't know if this team, with the way the roster's put together and just the way they usually go about things, like they have had a hard time sustaining pressure in the offensive zone. They just have. So it feels like that's another game coming up tonight where doesn't mean Rangers are going to lose, but they will, I think, lose the possession battle. They will lose the battle of ozone time. They will lose the battle of shots on goal, shot differential, all of that stuff. It's probably going to be in Florida's favor. They have just shown themselves repeatedly, game after game in this series, to be the team that's in the offensive zone more than the Rangers. the team that's got the puck more than the Rangers, the team that's shooting the puck more than the Rangers, the team that's getting more shots on net than the Rangers. That's the way this series has gone now, the last several games. And now that it's become a pattern, I don't see it changing. It's going to be a hope for the Rangers tonight that Igor's great again, which he's capable of, and that you may get outshot 42-29 or something like that tonight, and yet you steal a 2-1 win, you know, which kind of what happened in game two at Madison Square Garden. That's the hope, you know, right now if you're the New York Rangers, is that I don't think you can do anything to take Florida's territorial edge away, because Florida's just a better 5-on-5 team, I think, than the New York Rangers. And at this point in time, you know, they're just going to have the run of the play, just like they've had in pretty much every game this series. And for the Rangers, it's about hanging in there, you know, making sure the dam doesn't burst, you know, survive these Florida swarms that they are undoubtedly going to have more often than you have your swarms around the Florida net, and just hold the fort and then just chip away and, you know, keep Florida off the board and capitalize and be opportunistic on their chances when they get them. That's what it's going to have to be for the New York Rangers tonight here in game five. We'll see if that it worked for them in game two in this building, where, again, Florida outplayed the Rangers that night too. But again, the Rangers found a way to win. Igor, is there a time when he starts wearing down? I mean, is this guy is not a machine or a robot. He is a human being. You know, he has been worked like crazy here. He has been facing a shit ton of shots. You know, as far as this series is concerned. So when you look at it here, that's as great as he's been. And maybe he's just going to keep, you know, playing at such an incredible level for the Rangers. But I do worry about all of the fucking shots and pressure and the rubber he's faced. I mean, he, you know, at some point you have to wear down maybe a little bit physically. But gosh, it's been very difficult to see any signs of that in Igor Shesterkin, which tells you just how good he has been. There's no question. So, like I said, there's no reason for me to bet Florida. I just wanted to throw out a lean out there because of the fact that, you know, people were looking to bet the money line here tonight, that if I had to choose, I would take Florida. But I've got Florida to win the East and the Cup. There's no way I'm adding on with Florida tonight at money line. There's no need to. You know, I've got them to win the East and the Stanley Cup, which I bet back in January when they made that monster run. You know what I bet it? I bet it right after they trounced Colorado. Like, they laid absolute waste to Colorado at Ball Arena in Denver on a Saturday. I think it was like 8-2 or something. And I said, holy shit, this Florida team, man, they are not any sort of fluke last year getting to the Stanley Cup. But that's when I was finally convinced, Matt, Florida's not a fluke from last year where they, you know, I thought maybe they fluked their way to the Stanley Cup final. And even coming in October, I still felt that I don't know if Florida is going to be able to duplicate that again. But in January, they convinced me when I saw them just beat down and destroy Colorado like that, 8-2. And that's why I said, all right, I got to put some Eastern Cup futures in my pocket with the Florida Panthers. And that's where we're at right now. So what I might do here, as far as if the Panthers win tonight and go up 3-2, I'm going to get the Rangers for the series at obviously a phenomenal price. I might, just for some hedging opportunities, look at a really, really good plus number on the Rangers to win the series, but only if they go down 3-2. Only if would I do that. So that's what I'm looking at here. The main bet for me, as I said, is the SGP, Panthers plus 2.5, Rangers plus 2.5, and under 6.5. There are some props that I do like here. You know, going to keep it very simple. Reinhardt, you know, because he's been red hot. I'm going to go back to the well with Rodriguez. I'm going to be stubborn because he's on the second line with Bennett and Tkachuk. He's had a million chances. I don't want to be not betting him to score on the night he does finally pot one, because he's had a bunch of chances here for the Florida Panthers. So Evan Rodriguez playing with Bennett and Tkachuk. Bennett's worth a look too. He's still getting great plus 400 type prices on him to score a goal as well for the Florida Panthers. Then for the New York Rangers, look, it's one of those deals where, look, Kreider and Zibanejad have to be the guys, and Panarin, but the prices aren't as good as some of the other Rangers you could bet to score a goal that have a better proven track record. So I think when you look at it here, Lafreniere, I've got to consider him once again, Vincent Trocheck, because those are the guys I think I can bank on. Looks like Philip Hedl is good to go tonight, by the way, for the New York Rangers. He missed the last game game four. So that's good news for the Rangers, because I think he's been noticeable. He's had chances. Puck hasn't gone in yet, but it doesn't mean it won't tonight for him. So Philip Hedl appears to be not only back in the lineup tonight for game five, but back alongside Kreider and Zibanejad on the top line for the New York Rangers. So that does help. And I liked his game before the few games that he played before he got injured. Actually, it wasn't an injury. It was, I think, rest. Because I remember the beat reporter saying he was healthy. It was just they want to load management with him a little bit. I hate that we're doing that stuff in the playoffs. And I said that the other day. Load management in the conference finals? Really? I mean, it's the conference finals. Get your butt out there and play every game. They need you. And you want to put your best team out there. But apparently they know better. The doctors know better than I do. And that's why Hedl sat down in game four. But he is back tonight with the Zibanejad Kreider unit on the top line. Looks like the other lines stay the same. Roslovic, Wenberg, Kako on the third line, Cooley, Gaudreau, and Rempe on the fourth line for the New York Rangers tonight. So looking forward to it. Should be a great game five here with the Rangers and the Panthers here tonight in this one. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. And by the way, everyone, as far as the BetCast last night, we thank you very much for joining us on the BetCast last night. It was a lot of fun. It was a lively BetCast. It was a full house almost. We almost got to our capacity of 10 people on the BetCast last night, but it was a lot of fun. Sammy P joined in. Bob Lupton joined us as well. We had a lot of good people. We saw Jordan Sandbrook later in the night, our buddy Florida Everblades. Thanks to him for stopping in from his hotel in Kansas City, where he's getting ready for the Kelly Cup final against the Kansas City Mavericks. Friday night, by the way, game one with Florida and Kansas City. We wish Jordan well. And we said that last night. Go get that three-peat for the Florida Everblades there in that Kelly Cup final. So we're looking forward to watching Jordan try to bring home another championship there with Florida against Kansas City. That's a hell of a series, though. Kansas City is no fucking joke. They're a great team. They've had a great season. They have home ice for a reason. So I'm definitely looking forward to that with the Kelly Cup final starting tomorrow night in the ECHL involving friend of the show, Jordan Sandbrook. And also Kevin Rain, who joined us last night. Good friend of the show as well. Doing a lot of great work outside of hockey now that he's retired. Formerly played, he was drafted by the Kings, I think, long time ago in the NHL, but didn't have much time in the NHL at all, mostly in the minors. And then he went to England, played with Belfast, was the captain of that Belfast Giants team overseas in England the last few years, but then retired after last year. And now he's back home in Dryden, Ontario. And he's, like I say, he's been a mental health spokesman, which matters to both me and Alex, because we struggle at times with mental health, especially in this job. You know, you're just inundated with work and you're basically see the same chamber here, my office space, for 6 months straight, not going many places. So, to be able to speak out about, the mental battles, it makes sense. And he's doing a great job, promoting it, awareness for it. And then he's helping his own community where he's working with the Dryden Ice Dogs, the junior A team there. So he's a great, great person, Kevin. And it was great for him to be with us here last night to be with us on the BetCast. So great. Yeah, Belfast is in Ireland. That's true. Belfast is in Ireland. It's called the British League, though, the EIHL, Elite Ice Hockey League. But Belfast, yeah, is Ireland. Most of the other teams, though, are pretty much in England in that particular league, Sheffield, Manchester, etc. But yeah, he played in Belfast and like I said, retired now, but doing a lot of great work for hockey locally and just work and for mental health awareness as well. So Kevin, it was great to catch up with him last night on the BetCast. It was a great BetCast. We thank everyone for joining us for it as well. And I know, Matt, you were a little disappointed because, you had busy with work. Work called your name last night, unfortunately, so you couldn't be on with us as much as you wanted. But you did stop in for a few minutes. And like always, Matt, these BetCasts are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't able to really join much the last two BetCasts, but hopefully we get maybe some Game 7 BetCasts early next week. We'll see how everything plays out these next couple games. And then, obviously, for the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm sure we'll have something going on. So I'll be excited for that. But, yeah, sometimes, the pro of living in Pacific time is, you know, the late games for me are like at 7:30. So I'm usually, you know, done with the late game by 10:30 during the regular season. The negative is when you get to playoffs, you know, some days I have to work later than 5 o'clock. Sometimes puck drops at 5 o'clock. So it makes it a little more difficult, especially, you know, working in sales at the end of the month. It's usually the busier time. So hopefully things open up next week and I'm able to join a little more, but was glad to at least get on the show today, as well as Monday for our doubleheader show. But yeah, you know, always a great time. Love hanging out with the guys, obviously making some money, but always some good laughs. You know, and I know you were telling me John Massey was keeping the crowd laughing last night, which is not unusual. He's a character, so love the guy.
He rips off these absolutely hilarious, like, you know, statements and comments and lines, and he's just, you know, he is legitimately a funny guy, and yet he keeps that stoic, stone face, baseless expression the whole time when he's doing that. And I think that's a skill. I really believe that. Like, he doesn't even crack a mini smile when he's saying some of this funny shit that he says. I think that's a true skill, right? Right there. It's poker face the whole time. Yep. But we know he'll be stressing. He's got band practice tonight, so he said he was not going to be able to watch as much of the Ranger game as he'd hoped, but he's going to be on top of the score and seeing how that goes. Yeah, and the AHL Conference Finals, we haven't forgotten. Coachella Valley, by the way, they got the win last night in the first game of the Western Conference Final in the AHL Conference Finals they're in. So that's going on. I think it's Cleveland and Hershey, game one in the Eastern Conference Final tonight. And then it's game two, Milwaukee, Coachella Valley. Late night action tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific in Coachella Valley. So I'm going to have to find that game on my television. I'll be able to because I get all these AHL, ECHL. So I'm looking forward to watching a little Calder Cup playoffs as well. It's not just NHL. I'm watching Memorial Cup. I'm watching Calder Cup. I'm watching Kelly Cup when Florida and Kansas City get it going. So we'll see how it goes. I just remembered now, I didn't even mention this when I was talking all about our guy Jordan Sandbrook in Florida. But yeah, Matt's friend, David Cotton's in that series as well. To the other side, unfortunately, Kansas City. So some friend of the show is winning here in this ECHL series.
Yeah, no doubt. And I was actually just looking at the stats when you mentioned that they arrived in Kansas City. David Cotton's got 12 points in 14 games, so he's having a good playoffs. He's got points in the last three games, so hopefully he lights it up. Obviously, I'll be happy either way, given, you know, friends of the show. But yeah, happy for him. Hopefully they make a little run. Hopefully we get a good series either way.
I think it could be. I think it could be 6-7 games, quite honestly, because I've seen what Kansas City's done, their overall body of work. They're really damn good. Like, this is a legit threat to the Florida Everblades quest for a three-peat. You know, it really is. And they got home ice because, look, they had more points in the regular season than Florida. So this is going to be an interesting series. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, we got friends on either side when it comes to that ECHL Kelly Cup and the PWHL. Shout out to Minnesota. Minnesota sports finally not, you know, coughing it up and actually getting the job done, which you don't always see. But they did last night, the first ever PWHL Walter Cup. Champion, the Minnesota women's team. Congrats to them. Nice win for them against Boston last night in game five. And that London Saginaw Memorial Cup game was outstanding as well. And London got the better of it 3-2. So Memorial Cup junior hockey, CHL championship going. Lots of hockey outside of the NHL too as well. All right. Before we get to best bets and bargain bin special of the night, just a reminder that we've got Patreon.com/iceguys, $10 per month. We are going to have more Patreon exclusive live betcasts. And Alex and I were talking about this last night after the betcast. We might have a game seven betcast. I don't know if both series go to game seven. I'm not sure we'll do game seven betcasts for both of them, but for one of them, we might next week, Monday or Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. Not confirmed yet, but we might have a Game 7 live betcast for one of the two series. And if we have one, it'll be announced, and it'll probably be a Patreon-exclusive betcast as well. So again, all the more reason to sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Again, access to our exclusive live betcasts, goalie charts, totals charts, our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page each and every day, plus all our bonus off-season content coming up on the Patreon site as well. So make sure you sign up, just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And of course, check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. What a season it's been. Our first season doing a bargain bin special of the night segment. We introduced this way back in October when the season began, and the amount of winners that I've thrown out there with this segment, Alex, Matt, and others that have been on this show, it's been a smashing success, and the bargain bin special of the night segment is probably going to be here for the eternity of the Ice Guys show at this point. Why wouldn't it be? It's been that fun, that profitable. We'll see if we can add to it tonight. Matt, we'll start with you. Where are you going for the bargain bin here tonight?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting bargain bin. Again, given this game, the prop side of things are hard. So I'm seeing this at plus 310 on Bovada. I'm guessing you can get it even higher than that. I'm going to take Florida puck line -1.5 and the under 6.5 goals. So I think Florida is going to win this game 3-1 or 4-2. I don't think that there's going to be 7 goals scored, but I do think Florida, you know, maybe is up 2-1, gets the empty net, or, you know, 3-2, same idea. So it's a little bold, but it does meet bargain bin material. It's over plus 300, so I like it tonight, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, and it doesn't have to be that's another thing, too. It just has to be a bet that's plus 300 or better. Most of the time, it's props, but it doesn't have to be a prop as long as it's plus 300. So that's Florida -1.5 and under 6.5, right?
Yep, Florida -1.5 and under 6.5 total goals.
There you go, plus 310 for Matt Robinson with his bargain bin special tonight. Very unique bargain bin special. My bargain bin, it was between Hedl for the Rangers and Bennett for the Panthers. I like both of them. I like Rodriguez too, but I used Rodriguez for bargain bin the last game. I don't like using the same player two games in a row usually. So for bargain bin, so it's Bennett. I'm going to go Bennett. It feels like a game like it's probably going to be a game where Florida's going to have to crash the net to score, because I do believe Shesterkin will play great. Win or lose, I think Igor Shesterkin will play great. I'm going to go with Sam Bennett. He is the prototypical type of player to score a greasy, tough goal right in front of the net, take a pounding, find that loose puck, jam it in. He's been, I think, had a pretty good series overall. He's started to produce offensively the later the playoffs have gone on. Plus 440 at FanDuel for Sam Bennett, Florida Panthers. We're going to go with that for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets. Matt, we'll start with you. What do you like here for best bet?
Yeah, it's interesting you went Bennett. That was going to be my one player that I was thinking about for the bargain bin, so I'll definitely be on that as well. Love to hear it. Well, yeah, given the fact that I lean Florida here, I got to stick to my guns. I just took the bargain bin that, you know, basically is a Florida bet. I'm going to go with Florida team total over 2.5 in this game. Again, if I happen to lose this bet and they win the game 2-0, my bargain bin hits, so even better. But I think the winner of this game is going to get to 3 goals. Again, if you lean New York, I think New York team total over 2.5, which is -120, is not a bad look. I lean Florida here. I think they're going to get a lot of shots on goal. I do like the Shesterkin saves, but, you know, if Florida gets 40 shots here, I think it's hard to believe that they won't get to 3. So Florida Panthers team total over 2.5. That's my best bet of tonight.
All right. Florida Panthers team total over 2.5. For Matt Robinson with his best bet, which is a -135 at Pinnacle. So that's some of the best. I think that's probably the best price you can find on it. Some other books are, it's a little higher, 140, 145, but Pinnacle's got it -135. Pretty good price with that. So Florida Panthers team total over 2.5, -135. Whew! There we go for Matt with his best bet going with that Panthers team total. All right, my best bet here for tonight. By default, it's got to be the only, at least at the moment, you know, well, I did bet the draw, but the draw is not best bet material. It's the only other bet pregame side or total that I've made on this game for game 5 as of now, and it's that same game parlay. And I've used the same game parlay as my best bet previously, and I think the last time I did, it won. And it won pretty easily. So I think it's a great way to approach this game. It's a less, you don't have to sweat it as much. You don't have to sweat who's going to win the game. You just don't need this game to be a blowout, and I don't think it will be. And as long as it's not a blowout and it's another competitive close game, which I do expect tonight, you've got a great chance with it. And that's Florida Panthers +2.5, New York Rangers +2.5, and under 6.5, +105 at BetMGM. That same game parlay is my best bet here for game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final tonight, between the Panthers and Rangers. That's a wrap on the Thursday edition of the Ice Guys show. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button on the way out. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. And also make sure you download the True TV Plus app. You can watch and listen to the Ice Guys show on that app. You can download the True TV Plus app on all Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV devices. So make sure you download the True TV Plus app as well to check out the Ice Guys show. For Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we are back tomorrow for a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.